glorifies God by Jesus. I'm going to start off with 2B, and then I'm going to go in chronological order all the way down through it. It was on my old computer, and I couldn't find the real one and the real two, so I started off with 2B was the first one I could find, and they're chronological after that. You know, my old computer blew up, and I had some stuff stored on some of the others, so that's what I'm going to do. So when you come in here and you see the same thing on there, on Monday it'll be number 2. Now I'm doing all that because Terry worries about me all the time. I can drive, I can go anywhere, I can do anything, and she treats me like I'm an idiot. But you know, that's the way I treated old people. When I thought, you know, I treated them like they weren't all there and I needed to help them. I can drive anywhere. She won't let me drive to the nursing home. She won't let me drive down there. And it even got so bad that Anna May said, "Don't worry, Terry. When you're down there, I've got him." And I thought, hallelujah. Even she thinks I'm an idiot. But in any case, see, don't ever tell Terry anything. She's a blabbermouth. In any case, that's the story. Now, I want you to notice that on the second sheet, I start off and I put all the stuff on the right hand. I put this open over here. So as I go through this, I'm going to tell you anything that I've changed my mind on, or I'm going to enhance what I already told you, one or the other. And I was very pleased. I'm going to be mostly enhancing. I'm not going to come to that place that I don't know whatever made me think this. I'll find some way to get around it maybe before that. But in any case, that's what I'm going to do. Now, every day you'll get three sheets just like this, and the second two will be the new material. Now, I'll just tell the people that are here that aren't here now. I'll just tell them. I'll say, if you weren't here, read this when you get home, because you'll understand it. But this time I am going to go through it quickly, because you already know it. But there are some things about it. You see, I prayed about God. I prayed and asked God, would you please help me understand this thing about your preeminence and how you have always been, the preeminence of Jesus, the preexistence of God and everything. Because I got to think about, I first heard about that when I was in the National Security Agency and I was talking to a preacher, different faith, and he mentioned that to me. And so I started looking around for it, and I found a little bit. Then I went through the seminary and I asked some of the teachers. Some of them didn't even want to talk about it, and I don't blame them. But there were a couple John Penn and David, I can't think of his last name. They were the two smartest two down there. They knew a lot of this stuff. And so I asked them, and they gave me a general idea. So when I came up here, I told you Jesus had always been alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I didn't go into great detail because I didn't know much then. But I really started studying, and I kept trying to understand it, trying to understand it, trying to understand it, trying to understand it. And Moses helped me when he came up here, because I started looking at all those names. I never had looked at all of them. And I looked at them, and I began to see a pattern that was undeniable. So then I understood it. So I've tried to put this in as simple terms as I know how, without being a Calvinist. If you're not careful with this teaching about Jesus always being God, you'll turn into a Calvinist. I guarantee you, you'll turn into a Calvinist if you step over the brink. I haven't stepped over the brink. I'm not going to stop over the brink because I understand it now. So I'm at least going to go through here and put it in terms that I think are a lot simpler than I've been able to do it in the past. One Spirit, Jehovah, created time in the beginning. That's the word that's used, Jehovah. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, one God chose to fulfill three offices, picturing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Picturing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as the fullness of the Godhead, and in the man we know as the Son of Man and the Son of the Everlasting Father. You know all about the Everlasting Father. Isaiah talked about him. One God made Adam in sinless flesh, blood, and spirit. He didn't get the sinful nature of Mary, but she is blessed among women, and she impressed God more than any other woman at that time. And he had a good reason for choosing her. And so she's blessed. She's Makarios. She's happy. I'm ecstatically happy that she was chosen. But she's not to be worshipped. He says, one God made Adam in sinless blood and flesh. Sinless flesh, blood, and spirit. You say, well, he breathed into his vessels the breath of life. But Adam himself was not a quickening spirit. You say, well, why not? God knew what Adam would do. You say, well, why did he do that? I don't even ask why anymore. I've got a pretty good idea. Because God wanted us to choose to love him. And God chose this method so that we would love him genuinely. Because Adam didn't love God like he should have. Eve didn't love God like she should have. And God created, this is God's plan for man. There's a preacher out in Texas, trying to think of his name. He was the president of the seminary long years ago. I liked him a lot. And he believed that this was God's plan for man. And I believe it's God's plan for man, so hang along with me and we'll take a look at it. He says, as the fullness of the Godhead in the man, we know as the Son of Man and Son of the Everlasting Father. One God made Adam in sinless flesh, blood, and spirit. As a living soul, God foreknew. Now that's not predestination. God foreknew. God knew exactly what he was doing. This was God's plan. You say, well, I don't like that plan. I love it. Why? Because God made it. You know what I've learned? Anything God decides to do, I'm all for it. And that's not just praying adoration to him. Anything God does, I like it. Because God sure knows what he's doing, and I sure don't know what I'm doing half the time myself. He foreknew would fail to live up to his standard of righteousness. This isn't any different from what I was taught in school. But God had a foreknowledge plan of redemption for Adam, Eve, and all their descendants. Colon. Now, I missed that colon when I first went through here. And in foreknowledge, as the one God, God made himself a sinless seed in the sinless image of the first Adam, but sinless flesh covered him as the quickening spirit that, as the last Adam, did not fail. You can put which in there if you want to. But as a quickening spirit, which, as the last Adam, did not fail. He didn't fail. He was born sinless. He was made sinless. He was God. And God formed himself in Mary's womb. And he is the seed of God. And he's the seed of God. And God is his father. And he fulfilled the office of the Son. Now that's not complicated. It may be to some people, but it's not complicated to me. The one in that womb was God himself. And I heard John Owen one time say in class, and he said, no, I don't want to get into that. He said, do you realize when Jesus walked on this earth, he was all there was of God right there? I sat back there with Joe Carlton and I said, what's he talking about? Joe said, Mike, I don't know. I said, you going to ask him? He said, no. I said, well, I don't plan to ask him either. But now I know. Will you believe that was God himself wrapped in sinless flesh? And it was all there was of God. And when he prayed inside to himself in the office of the Son, to the office of the Father. And that reason he had to go back to heaven so quick, he told Peter, I've got to go. You know, I can't stay around here. He wanted him to stay a while. Was because he had to get back up and start playing the role of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, he's all three. You say, I don't know how that can be. Well, God does. And I tell you, if you dig hard enough, you'll find out just exactly what God meant. But I could not have learned this if God hadn't gone to the trouble of teaching me. And I know there's still more to know about it. I don't claim to know it all. But I'm claiming that God had a foreknowledge of redemption for Adam, Eve, and all their descendants. And then right on the bat, right after that, Eve said, I have gotten another seed from the Lord. And then it says, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Men been calling upon the name of the Lord ever since. That's why they, when they went up and found this bunch up at, I think it was the last place they went up there, where they had those people that that hadn't been baptized by in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They baptized them in the name of Jesus. And they didn't rebaptize them. Why didn't they rebaptize them? Because that's who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are. So they didn't rebaptize them. So does that mean all of a sudden we're supposed to have a group going around now and saying they're baptized, they believe in the name of Jesus only. They believe in the name of Jesus only. That's crazy. Jesus is God. And when they baptized in the name of Jesus, they didn't know any better. But poor old John the Baptist was already dead. And Apollos had gone up there and they had listened to him and they got all mixed up. But it was still in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they didn't rebaptize them. Ken, check that out, because I don't think they rebaptized them. No, wait till afterwards, and then if I was wrong, don't tell anybody, and we'll lie about it later. made him, so as in foreknowledge of one God, made himself a sinless seed in the sinless image of the first Adam, but sinless flesh covered him as the quickening spirit that as the last Adam did not fail. One God wrapped himself in sinless flesh he created in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and from her womb to glorification did not sin, but did take the cross in his own body on a cross, that the one could be complete propitiation for all who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son who fulfilled what we are incapable of performing. There's 1 Corinthians 15:44-46. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And Adam was made, the last Adam, I put that in caps, was made a quickening spirit. How could he be a quickening spirit surrounded with Mary's flesh? Howbeit, that was not first that is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. So when I got, you remember that song we've got in our Old Testament in one of our song books about being birthed, the day they were birthed? That's the birth of the firstborn. That's when the firstborn births you. And God the Father, from the office of Father, he leads you to the Son, who is the firstborn. And the firstborn is the quickening spirit. And he births you. So in that old songbook we got, the one we call the wine, what do we call that, Robert? The Big Whiny Book. You'll find that song is in there. I think it's in that one. It's about birth. It might be in the other one. But this has always been taught, but not as in much detail as I'm trying to do it. But I wanted to know. He says, God wrapped himself in sinless flesh. He created in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and from her womb to glorification did not sin, but take the sins in his own body on a cross, that the one God could be complete propitiation for all who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son who fulfilled what we are incapable of performing. You read 1 Corinthians 15:44-46, and you're looking at a body that is covered in sinful flesh. And before Christ saved me, he had a sinful spirit. And he also had a sinful heart. The heart and the soul mixed together are the internal man. And so the truth of the matter is, it was all by grace. If he hadn't done that, how would it ever happen? So whatever God says and decides, I'm for. Sometimes I don't get my will. It irritates me. God knows that. But very quickly I realized, you just didn't know what you were talking about, did you? And then God kind of lets me know, no, Tom, here's the way it is. And he explains it to me in the scripture, and I say, okay, I see where I was wrong. Okay. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. You've been preached that many times. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy side and her seat it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Romans 3:25-26. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Well, what is that? Through the forbearance of God, that's the forbearance of God, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just. You say, well, he didn't have to prove he was just to me. He wanted to prove it. And he wanted to see, he wanted us to see what he did for us. He became man and dwelt inside himself and fulfilled the office of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, see, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. And what does he say? Right quickly in verse 19. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's it. You say, well, that's too simple. No, we're too simple. And God made it simple for us. But somehow we're not interested enough to take his spiritual knowledge and understand what he had to say. Now, I will not repeat this again. So don't worry. When I come in here, oh my Lord, he's going to do that again. Because I don't blame you. I see some of them back there and I read lips. I learned to read lips from my grandmother. I shouldn't have told you that. But I do read lips. And I've lost my touch, but grandmother she taught me how to read lips. And I'll look back there and I'll wait to see the reaction. And just immediately when it's something similar, I know the very ones that are going to look over. And I shouldn't tell you all that. But you see, I do know what you're saying. So you have to admit, I'm not hard to get along with. But I don't know what's said about me when you're not here. And that is what all of a sudden I'm caught in the dark on stuff that happens. I can understand that. I'd feel the same way. Oh, good Lord, we're going to go through this again. And I did that with Brother Larley. And I did that with other preachers. And so I'm getting my comeuppance. Isaiah 49, I was going to tell my grandmother one time about the Lord. And I was talking to her. I said, Grandma, are you sure you're safe? Oh, yes, I said. And I said, this is what I'm teaching now at school. I pulled out this book by Clarence Larkin. And she said, and he believed in scriptural baptism. And I said, this is what I'm teaching. She said, oh, Tom, she said, I had that when I came over here and said, I used to study that all the time. So she had known about it for years. And when she saw that, I didn't worry about her anymore. She knew baptism didn't shave. She knew all that. And so I wasn't worried about Grandmother Drennan anymore. And I sure wasn't worried about Thiel. She stayed, huh?
You're in good company. You remember what Paul said?
Yeah.
He said, I tell you and I have to tell you again.
Yeah.
So you keep telling us.
What did he say next? And it still didn't do any good. Okay. Servant Israel glorifies God by Jesus. Isaiah 49:5. The next one I do will be Isaiah 49:6. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. Well, he made himself a servant. And he formed himself in his mother's womb and made himself a servant to bring Jacob again to him. God brought Jacob to him. How did he do it? Jesus said it was God who led us and Israel to him. That's how he did it. You see, he fulfilled all three offices. And he did it, it's very clear, but you have to work on it. It didn't come easy. Though Israel be not gathered, well, they've gathered now. Yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Who is his God? The Father. Who is the Father? Jesus. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of the seven angels, of the seven messengers that Jesus taught in the churches. Philippians 2, 8 and 9. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. The one fulfilling the office of the Son was God. And he humbled himself to a higher authority and became obedient unto death, to his own commandments and to his own power, even the death of the cross. Now do you see why Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." God humbled himself and became obedient to his own standard. And he did not fail. If God had been in sinful flesh, he would have failed. My brother thinks that Jesus was carnal. That is what is so heartbreaking to me, because I wanted to know this. I wanted to understand it. And every time I prayed this for years. I said, "Lord, please, I don't want to offend you. Lord, don't let me offend you. Don't let me offend you. But I want to know about you, Lord." And I'm beginning to think I understand a whole lot more now than I ever did before. And I sure do like what I discovered. The God who humbled himself to redeem me in body, soul, and spirit by his quickening spirit. Adam couldn't do it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of this, God had highly exalted him. Why did he exalt him? He had the right to exalt himself. What is righteousness? He had the right. He had the right to do it. As the Father, and he fulfilled the office of the Father, Jesus had the right to do it. And that's what righteousness is. Whenever you fulfill righteousness, that's what it is. And you go over in Daniel 7, I think it's around verse 14 or 24, and it says that he sees the Son of Man being brought up to the throne of God. Well, that's when he glorified him. But he has always been God. And he had this plan and he carried it out, and I thank God he did. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name. Now, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. That is the will. That is the will of something to another person. When it talks about, it's a title deed. That's what it is. It's a title deed. The hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Those seven seals, we're on about seal five now. And whenever he comes at the seventh trump, he says, "It is finished." He has fulfilled all that is required to be just and the justifier of all who have believed in all the ages from now to now. And that's quite a wonderful thing. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God took it back. Jesus came as the Son. As the Son, and in submission to the Father, who he also was. He was just and the justifier that in all of eternity will be the everlasting Father, because he took it back from the devil and gave it back to man. And he was a man. But the difference between him and Adam was, Adam sinned. He was perfect in flesh. He was perfect in spirit. He was perfect in soul, in every way. That's why, that's the inheritance. That's the inheritance, and he paid for all of it. And so I keep asking the question, how much of it do you want? He's got all of it. Oh, I know you don't think you can claim all of it. Some say you can. I don't think so. Because I think he's claimed it. And that's what you're getting when you get there. And what do you want to be look like when you get that inheritance? What do you want to look like? Where do you want to live? All of it's his inheritance, not just what's inside the gate, but what's outside. So you've got a white stone that will let you go anywhere. You got a white stone to let you go anywhere. That's why I sent that. I kept trying to get that up to her, and I never could. You got a white stone. It'll get you anywhere in heaven if you live inside the city. Well, how much do you have to do? You got to run a race. How well do you have to finish? God decides that, not me. All I can do is keep exhorting you and telling you that you need to do it, and I need to do it. And I work on myself, but the Word of God works on me, and I give it to you, and I tell you, this is what we need to do. But there's a lot of things I don't know how much I have to do. But I know my inheritance is in heaven. I know it's been there since God, before the foundation of the world, knew what decision I would make by foreknowledge. Not by predestination, where he picked one, picked another, picked another, picked another, and they had no choice. That's a lie. And if you aren't careful, if you go too far with this, you'll become a Calvinist. And if you become a Calvinist, you won't like nobody that doesn't believe like you and has eaten of the tree. He says, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And brother, man has eaten of that tree all the days of their life. And the only one can make it easy. And man has suffered from the spiritual fruit of that tree. But if you want the spiritual side of you to find the final true rest, you can do it here. You can. And all of a sudden his yoke becomes easy and his burden light. And you learn to turn it over to him, and you learn to let people spit in your face, insult you to your face, do all kind of stuff to you, and you just take it. You know what? I hope I'm there. I hope I'm there. Because it's been a rough, it's hard. I'm not going to complain anymore. Imogene told me to quit complaining, and she's right. He said, and I saw a strong angel proceeding with a loud voice. He asked a question. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. Wait a minute. No man in heaven? Nor in earth, neither under heaven, was able to look the book, neither to look therein. Only the man, as God, who led us to the Son, who is in heaven and in our hearts, reconciling us to God. He's the only man who ever did. He's the overcomer. The question is, how much are you going to let him overcome in you? Notice what happened. And I believe this really happened. And John wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. My goodness. You're not going to know about it till he draws you to the Father. The Father draws you to him. He draws you to the Spirit living in you. And you get to look therein and say, I know I'm going to heaven. And I know I want to live in the city. And I know I want as much of the inheritance as God thinks I'm worthy of. And you hope you're more worthy than what you think you're worth. And if that's your attitude, you're in pretty good shape. I think you're in pretty good shape. How many people ever come to that point? It's this way. He says, Hebrews 2, 7 through 12. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. God made the man. Now remember, he's got two persons. There's two natures to Jesus. A perfect nature and a perfect spirit. And he had a perfect nature in the flesh. And he went back as the man, the Son of Man. And he prayed to the office of the Father, who was God, and he was God. I guess you could call it talking to himself. I don't know. Maybe that's not right. But he asked God to remove it from him. And the glory of God is that the third time the man in sinless flesh said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. That's when you finally find rest. Well, Jesus already had rest. And he understood all this. But he made him pay the price as a man. He did. He deliberately and willfully paid the price as a man. And he lets you see that the man was perfect. He was sinless. But he asked the Father to remove the cup. You say, well, that made him a sinner. No, it didn't. It made him a man. It made him a man you can trust, who is God. That's why he said that, kiss the Son. Trust in the Son. Because the Son is the Father. And when you understand the mightiness and the love and the compassion of God, that he would become a man and go through the same temptations that you go through, even greater, as a man, and still obey his own laws. That's my man. That's what they say today. That's what the kids say. That's my man. That's my God. And it's a wonderful thing to understand that. He says, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. That's inheritance. That's what we start with. We got a whole lot more than that. Has put in subjections under his feet. He put all things in subjection under his feet. He did it all. For that he put in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. That's inheritance. The spirits are under him. The devil is under him. Everything's under him. The inheritance is under him. You're under him. Why'd he do it? Because he loved you. And when you come to understand this, you can't help but love him. And you wonder, maybe I can love him like he loves me. But he says, you love me because I first loved you. Maybe you can love him like he loves you. Not with the full intensity of it, perhaps. Not the willingness to give your life for him. But maybe when you see what he's done, you'll wonder if he isn't so merciful. As you grow in grace, in the knowledge of him, that you love him. Agape. I think Peter did in the end. Because you can't help but return that kind of love. It's the only kind of love that can actually allow other people to hurt you, to wound you, to say all manner of evil against you. And yet, like Jesus, just to keep on going and doing what he knew he had to do. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He did it. But not every man received him, did they? His own rejected him. But to those who received him, he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He's my captain. I understand that. He's my captain. The captain of a ship is the one who's totally responsible. And he's more like a general. They have a rear admiral, and they mostly stay in the rear. But the captain, he's right there on board. And he wants us to be on that ship. It's called fellowship. For both he that sanctifieth and those who are ashamed are all of one. There's only one God. There's only one God. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He calls me a brethren. I am in heaven recorded as the firstborn. I am more than just a just man made perfect. I am considered one of his brethren. He is the firstborn. He is the one who gave me birth. He is the one who keeps me. He is the one who convicts me when I don't keep the ordinances correctly. He is the one who forgives me when I don't forgive others. I've taken advantage of him so much, I guess I've got to do better. And every time I think I'm doing better, I'm not doing as good as I thought. I guess you never do find final peace until you get there and you see him as he is. For we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think I'll have the kind of love for him then that I ought to have. But it's only because of his grace. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Well, guess who declared his name unto me? The firstborn. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto him. The firstborn is here right now. We're assembled together. We're two or three. Good grace, we've got a big crowd here. We're two or three gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. I used to, when we'd have a big crowd, and I'd preach a sorry sermon. This was when I first came up here, and I'm sorry. You remember when Joanne came down the aisle? We had worked with Joanne. And I preached the sorriest message I had ever preached in my life. And I was preaching, and I always gave invitation back then. I said, and I gave the invitation. She came down the aisle. Do you know what my carnal man said inside me? For all I know, it may be my soul, because God does forgive the soul also. I was saying, no, go back until I preach a better sermon. You remember that, Ken? And I told you about it. Oh, good grief. You see how bad off I was? You don't know how bad off you are until you know how bad off you are. And then when you think, well, I'm doing pretty good, and you say, I'm not doing much good at all. But you never apologize. I apologize to you all the time because God bothers me inside. You might as well know what a pastor is really like. Why shouldn't you? So I'm trying to cut out my foul mouth. I really am. You haven't heard me do any much, have you? No, I that was wrong of me. MG kept telling me, and the Spirit moved her to do it. I should have listened to her. He says, right, Revelation 5, 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. That's the Holy Spirit. You say, how can he be everywhere and right here? Well, you know, the Lord is wherever. The Lord is, I'll put it this way, in one piece. Well, I don't, that's not right either. The Lord is wherever he positions himself. The Lord has positioned himself in this church right now. You think I'd say that if I didn't believe it was true? And so here he is. He's among us. He's listening to everything I preach. If you find me hacked to death and they couldn't figure out who did it, don't blame God. But Lord have mercy, I have to be very careful about what I say. I have to be very careful about who I criticize. I believe what the Archangel Gabriel said to Satan. It says, and the Archangel Gabriel, did not rebuke Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. So, when somebody rebukes me, and I'm not guilty, I don't tell the Lord what to do. I just wait to see what he does. Because I've told you, I don't instruct the Lord. But I do listen to the Lord. And if somebody stands up and rebukes me, and I have been rebuked many times, I just kind of smile and say, I'm sorry. And most of the time, I don't even know what they're talking about. But it's always worked in the past. But sometimes, it just don't work. In any case, he says, and I give unto them eternal life. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You've studied that long enough. You know all about that. And I'm going to let you out. Oh, it's a minute early. You're going to get out a minute early. And I'll do the other one when we come back. I'm trying to do that all the time. I was told that I needed to let out at 20 minutes after. And I've been trying to do that ever since.
You can leave that on. I'll just turn it off.
Okay.